I was in the garage the other day installing a light fixture that I got at a local hardware store. When I opened the box, a piece of paper fell out, and on the top of the piece of paper it said, FCC Suppliers, Declaration of Conformity. And of course, my mind being the steel trap that it is, when I saw that word declaration or that phrase declaration of conformity, I went right to formal church membership because that's what it is. So let's talk about it.
You're listening to The End Sunday Show.
Leaving behind religious obligation for a better expression of Christ. This is The End Sunday Show.
Hey friends, Mike Adams here with The End Sunday Show. Thank you for joining me on another riveting episode here. So this declaration of conformity, which fell out of this box, you know, as soon as I saw it, that's just how my mind works. I went right to this topic and I wanted to do a podcast about it, this declaration of conformity. Because in institutional church settings, most institutional church settings, by far the majority of them, or the box church, whatever, however you want to describe that church setting, most of them, the vast majority of them, have what's called formal church membership. In other words, if you are serious about your faith, you need to sign on the dotted line in order to become a formal church member so that you can then be free to do more, you can participate more, you have more opportunities. If you don't do that, you're going to not have those same opportunities. So when we talk about formal church membership, this is a layer of conformity that has been placed on the body of Christ that is completely unnecessary. It has no place in the body of Christ. I have 5 points here that I want to talk to you about, a 5-point outline, go figure. And let's just flesh this out a little bit together. Number one, formal church membership, or saying that formal church membership is required, turns a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit's work in making us a part of the body of Christ. What the Holy Spirit did at conversion when we believed in bringing us into the larger body of Christ is somehow insufficient. It's somehow lacking. Now, we need this second layer of membership in order to participate in the local box church. And the second layer of membership is what's called a formal church membership document, or as this piece of paper said, the Declaration of Conformity. Because if we're honest, that's what it is. When we sign our name on the dotted line here on whatever formal church membership packet that you're looking at, you're really making a Declaration of Conformity. You're agreeing to conform. You're agreeing to abide by the rules of the group or the church, whatever it happens to be, and you're putting yourself under the authority of those in charge by signing that document. In other words, you're giving away some of your freedom in Christ, and you're exchanging it for a system of conformity and compliance. And in that system of conformity and compliance, there will be rewards for compliance, and there will be punishments for non-compliance. But at the very top of my list is this idea that it turns a deaf ear, or it renders invalid to some degree what the Holy Spirit did in us when we believed in bringing us into the body of Christ. That isn't something we did. That's something He did. I didn't exert any effort to do that. But when I believed, it happened to me. When you believed, it happened to you. You are a part of the body of Christ. You can't become more of the body of Christ than what you currently are. That's not going to happen. That can't happen. And yet, when it comes to the box church or institutional Christianity, that somehow is insufficient. It's more like step one. And now, step two, if you're serious about your faith, needs to be you signing on the dotted line of this formal church membership document in order to be one of us, in order to operate with validity within this environment that we have going on over here, in whatever group or church that we're signing on with. But the bottom line is, it does turn a deaf ear to what the Holy Spirit did in your life when you believed. That somehow isn't enough. It's no longer enough. Number two, I have here that it uses shunning to enforce compliance. You can only go so far in that system if you don't comply. You can only go so far in that system if you don't sign on the dotted line and agree by signing to this declaration of conformity or this formal church membership document. You will be labeled fringe. You will be someone who needs to have an eye kept on because you're experiencing a little bit too much freedom in Jesus. And so you're dangerous to the system because you're not complying. You're not agreeing to the declaration of conformity by your signature. And so you can only go so far in that system. If you have gifts of teaching, you're not going to be able to teach at church-sanctioned events or in a small group or anything like that until you sign that document. And then once you sign that document, there'll be a vetting process of some sort to make sure that you line up with the tribal doctrine that you just signed up for, be it a membership class, be it some kind of class explaining, well, this is what we believe as a group, and you need to comply to that. You need to agree not to contradict that in anything that you say or teach or do. It's all part of that one declaration of conformity. And if you don't sign that declaration, you're only going to be able to go so far. You're not going to be able to do the things that you feel the Holy Spirit has truly equipped you to do unless you jump on board and sign the document. Once you do, again, there'll be some kind of vetting process, and then you'll be further trained in the tribal doctrine of whatever group you just joined before you're finally released to be able to do something on your own. But if you don't sign that, you'll never get released to do something on your own. And in my experience, if you start doing something on your own without being a formal church membership or without being a formal church member, you'll get a phone call or a visit, or someone's going to say something to you, someone in leadership, about the fact that you're not one of us, and so you can't be doing this. If you're going to continue doing this, you need to leave. So it uses shunning to enforce compliance. So again, number one, it turns a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit's work in us at conversion. Number two, it uses shunning to enforce compliance. And then number three, I have written down here, it employs guilt and shame to ensure conformity in the way of church discipline and public reprimand. In other words, read any formal church membership document, and somewhere buried in there, there'll be the threat of church discipline. This idea of church discipline is putting someone outside of the box church because they're failing to comply. In this case, failing to sign the Declaration of Conformity, or if you do sign the Declaration of Conformity, and you realize later that, hey, I don't agree with all the doctrine that's going on here, and so you begin to get vocal about it, you're going to be muzzled in some form, and it can lead to this thing called church discipline within the box church. Church discipline, the idea of church discipline, comes from Matthew chapter 18. But the problem with this idea of church discipline, as it's laid out for us in Matthew chapter 18, is it's never referenced or repeated in the New Covenant scriptures. There were a couple of opportunities where it could have been, but it never was. It never was mentioned. It never was brought up. In my opinion, Matthew 18 is an old covenant concept designed for old covenant people in an old covenant time. And as such, it has no place in the new covenant body of Christ. But we've brought it over. It's one of those things we brought over from the old covenant into the new. We've slapped a few religious terms onto it, and we've misinterpreted it, and we've made it something that we can use as a threat to others to conform to the rules. Now, I did a couple of episodes on church discipline a while back. I'll link those in the description. I don't want to talk too much about that right now. That isn't my point. But I will have links to those in the description if you want to go listen to them. But the bottom line is, I don't think that discussion in Matthew 18 has anything to do with the New Covenant Church, with the New Covenant Body of Christ. Again, I think it's a tool that we brought over, and we've misapplied it, we've misinterpreted it, we've taken it out of its context, and we use it as a tool to threaten others to comply to the rules. As one popular author said not too long ago, we can't kick you out if we don't know that you're in? In other words, one of the reasons he was giving for formal church membership is, if it comes to church discipline and we have to kick you out, we can't do it unless you've signed the document saying that you're in. Wow, there's some weird reasoning, huh? There's a shepherd's heart right there. But we can't kick you out unless we know that you're in. How do we know you're in? Well, you've signed the dotted line on the Declaration of Conformity, also known as formal church membership. And so with this idea of church discipline also comes a public reprimand. If for some reason after signing this document, you realize that, hey, I don't really agree with a lot of the doctrine that's being taught or a lot of the teaching that's going on here, and so I can't really support it. If church discipline comes about, then at the end of church discipline, of course, is a public reprimand and further shunning, further shaming. But again, go listen to those two episodes that I did on church discipline and see what you think. So again, to recap, number one, the church formal church membership turns a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit's work in making us a part of the body of Christ. And number two, it uses shunning to enforce compliance. And number three, and closely related to that, is it uses guilt and shame to ensure conformity in the way of church discipline. And then I have here as number four, it pressures you to volunteer time and money. If you sign up for the formal church membership, your presence is going to be expected as a volunteer, free labor. You're going to be expected to be available for free labor at different times in order to make sure that the institutional setting succeeds. Not only will you be obligated with a volunteer time, but with your funds, with your finances as well. Because at the end of the day, in the box church or in the institutional setting, the institutional church has to survive. It doesn't matter who's at the helm, it has to survive. It has to be able to meet its mortgage payments. It has to meet its insurance obligations. It has to meet salary obligations. It has to pay the utilities. All of these bills have to be paid, and they're paid by you, and they're paid by me. So if we're told that we're free and we don't have to sign this document, that money's going to go away, because when I realize I'm free, I realize I don't have to be giving to this stuff. I don't have to be supporting these things that someone has propped up for me to support. I'm free not to do it, or I'm free to do it. But the bottom line is, if you get up in front of people in an institutional church setting and you tell them that they're truly free because of grace, that they've been set free by the Holy Spirit, and that they have everything that they need for life and godliness in Jesus, and that there's no further obligation on their part, there's nothing they need to do, there's nothing they need to be, but they've received grace freely, they've received grace by faith, they received grace when they believed. Their sins were forgiven, past, present, and future. There's a one-time sacrifice for sin, not a repeated sacrifice. They are free. They've been set free. They don't have to be there. If you tell them that, they're not going to be there. They're going to believe it. Well, in the box church setting, you can't tell them that because, again, at the end of the day, the church has to survive. The institutional structures have to survive, regardless of who's at the helm. And so part of the idea in this Declaration of Conformity or this formal church membership document is to pressure you to volunteer your time and your money. And number five I have here, which ties directly into that last thing, it monitors your giving. It's a way to monitor your giving. Many churches believe there's such a thing as a tithe, but there's not. Not in the New Covenant. The New Covenant body of Christ knows nothing of a tithe. Believing that there's a tithe in the New Covenant, again, comes from ignoring context or being unaware of context of certain passages that actually have nothing to do with believers today tithing. There's no such thing as a tithe. And yet, when you sign the church document bringing you into formal church membership, there might be a specific clause in there about you tithing. We had some friends years ago who were in a very legalistic church, and it had a church school attached to it, a Christian school. And I'm using quotes when I say Christian, air quotes, but it had this Christian school tied to it. And she was a teacher in that school. And so she got paid by that school, The school was run by the church. Well, one of the deductions that they took out of her check each payday was a 10% tithe. In addition to the taxes that she paid, the health insurance premiums that she had to pay 10%. She never saw it. It was skimmed right off of the top, and it went into the church coffers. But that's horrible. That's not something that should be in the new covenant at all. There's no such thing as a tithe. But when we sign that document, somewhere in there, there's going to be buried something about supporting monetarily the functioning of that institutional setting, whatever it may be. That's the way it works. Because again, at the end of the day, the institution has to survive. And so we've created this monster, or religion, really, church history has created this monster for us of formal church membership. Or as this paper said that fell out of my box when I was opening it up, a declaration of conformity. So let's recap. Number one, I believe that this system of conformity turns a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit's work in making us a part of the body of Christ. What He does isn't enough. What He did in us and through us and is doing in us and through us is insufficient. There has to be a second step if you're serious about your faith. Number two, it uses shunning to enforce compliance. You can only go so far in that system unless you dive in. And once you dive in, there's going to be a vetting process, and then you're still going to be monitored and watched closely. Number three, it employs guilt and shame to ensure conformity in the way of church discipline and public reprimand for failure to comply. And number four, it pressures you to volunteer your time and your money. And number five, it monitors your giving. And if you're not giving what the leadership thinks you should be giving, the amount that you should be giving, you're probably going to be contacted at some point and asked why. So this system of compliance has been laid over top the body of Christ. It's unnecessary, it's binding, it's hurtful, it's harmful, and it needs to be jettisoned. Instead, how about we take Jesus' words to heart and simply let our yes be yes and our no be no? Why are we signing a document? Why do we have to sign this thing in order to comply? Well, the bottom line is you don't. And if you've already signed one and you're having second thoughts about it, be ready for some fallout when you decide to fail to comply. Because at the end of the day, again, the institutional setting, the box church, has to survive. It can't not survive. Hey, listen, that's all I have for you today here on the End Sunday Show. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I hope that you benefited from this and that you were encouraged by it in some way. Remember, the Declaration of Conformity is a false document that doesn't need to be signed. It doesn't belong in your life. It doesn't belong in the body of Christ. There is no conformity. There's the Holy Spirit working in you and through you, and it's grace and grace alone that trains us in the Christian life. So you are free. Live as free people. Until next time, y'all take care.
Thank you for joining us on the End Sunday Show. To be a part of this ongoing conversation, visit us online at unsunday.com.